Hi, everybody.
Hey.
We just wanted to re-record a little intro in light of recent events, even more recent than this pandemic. I'm sure you all know about the murder of George Floyd and the ensuing protests. And so before we get into this mini episode where we talk about just a bunch of fucking white celebrity divorces, which, you know, could not be more frivolous. And maybe that's what you need. And we're happy to provide that. But we just wanted to let you know that we know exactly what is going on. Emily and I are both active in the Black Lives Matter movement. If you go to our Instagram, in our bio, we have a Linktree link to petitions, reading, places where you can donate if you haven't already, or places that are matching if you want your donation to go further. That link in our bio has links to literally everything. So we just wanted to let you know that we are in support 100% behind Black Lives Matter. We believe it's important now to sort of turn down our voices and amplify the voices of the Black community, which is something that we're going to be doing on our Instagram more consistently. And maybe we'll remember our Facebook a little bit more and do that. But we just want you to know that we're aware, we are hypervigilant, we are working on ourselves. We hope that you guys are doing the same and that we are an open forum to a certain extent, in that if there's anything or any sort of feedback you ever want to give us, we're happy to hear it. And we promise that we'll listen to it with open ears and hearts and all that good stuff. And you can either DM us or you can email us at oldmillennialspod@gmail.com. And so that's all I wanted to say. And I'm sorry, I didn't mean to bogart this from Emily, because I'm sure she has thoughts too, but these are at the top of my mind and I need to spew them out first.
No, I mean, everything you said, and just that, you know, we are going to do our part as much as possible to highlight all the amazing Black voices out there that are in the podcast world, which is often a world that overlooks people of color, specifically Black voices. So we want to do our part in highlighting those amazing podcasts out there that are, you know, hilarious, do their job amazingly, and are just putting out the pop culture knowledge that the world needs and we don't deserve. So that's all I have to say.
And it's obvious and clear if we have never made it explicit before, but it's definitely something that I am personally working on for myself, is to be way more vocal about my support, is that Black people contribute to everything that you think in pop culture is cool. And everything. We will be going even further out of our way to include them more in our podcast. We like to think that we are inclusive, but I feel like diversity and inclusion is the white people version of thoughts and prayers. And so we don't want to sit here and toot our own horn and essentially, you know, preach to the choir. So we are going to do more action and less talking. And in the meantime, I encourage everybody to say their names: Breonna Taylor,
George Floyd,
Ahmaud Arbery, Trayvon Martin, Tamir Rice, Eric Gardner, Philando Castile. I know that there are so many more, but just know that we're involved, we're aware, and we appreciate you guys and your support, and hope that you guys are being active and learning and processing as well. And without further ado, here's a bunch of dumb shit.
Thanks, guys. Hi.
Hello.
Welcome back to Old Millennials. This is our 10th mini episode. We are in between season 3 and our upcoming season 4, which will come back at one point this year. I am one of your hosts, Emily.
And I'm your other host, Margot.
We have just been praying, hoping, wishing. I think both of us, one of the things we've been talking about the most right now, as we're all shelter in place and home, is how much we miss a little juicy gossip. Because when everyone is at home, there's no gossip to talk about. But luckily for us...
And to be honest, I'm quite over watching Ben Affleck and Ana de Armas go for a fucking walk.
No. And I... Guys,
that's not gossip. Well, actually, gossip, did you see those... Did you see the pictures of them breaking into his house because they forgot their keys? That tickled me. Now, that tickled me too. That was funny. But all the other walks... Oh, well, when she blocked Armas updates, that was also some fun little gossip. But, you know, nothing sustains us quite like a breakup. because in a year like this year, you need some frivolous gossip every now and again. And thankfully, and not like the Bachelor Nation kind of gossip, because that kind
No. I mean, like, it's not fine.
Because they're kind very of stupid.
They're stupid. Like, it's expected.
They're just, they don't have any media training. They're bad at it. And generally, they just want free hair extensions, and that's why they drive to Arizona. No, I want some top-tier shit.
I want some top-tier shit,
rumors
too.
Of an affair. Leaked dick pics.
All the above. I want legal documents. I want it all. And luckily for us.
Wait, hold on. Emily, I think actually we do know what the best headline of this year has been so far. Lori Loughlin pleads guilty. Yes. Via Zoom.
Yes.
In no other time period would that headline be possible except for today. And you know, we have no choice but to stan.
The universe, she has blessed us so much during these days with such good celeb gossip. None of which has, like, just
I think my next tattoo is going to be pled guilty via Zoom.
Please, please get that. Make sure the font is
Old English, as if I was about to go to prison for photoshopping my daughter on a rowing machine.
Your clavicle. So it kind of looks like a necklace that you're always wearing, a statement piece, if you will, depending on the neck of your t-shirt.
How am I doing? Pled guilty via Zoom.
Just pull it down a little bit. Well, for us, though, I think the other thing that's really gotten it that we have been blessed with are these celeb divorces. And let's preface this by saying no divorce is good. Like, I mean, for some people, it is a good thing. But we're not here wishing and hoping and praying for these divorces. However, the celeb divorces.
Absolutely not. But I will say some of us like me do have, you know, I wouldn't say a bet, but like just a tab, so an ongoing tab of celebrities and B-tier Instagram celebrities. We just have tabs on, you know, are they going to make it? Because the one thing that truly made me laugh the most when the pandemic first started was when they had a headline when China was lifted their lockdown, and they're like, 88 couples filed for divorce on the same fucking day. I like howled in my kitchen. I don't know why. I was like, of course, like for some reason, that unintended consequence never crossed my mind.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I read this interesting article with Laura Wasser, who is a celebrity divorce attorney. And she was talking about how, like, yes, it seems like strange timing to just file for a divorce in the middle of a pandemic when, you know, courts are shut down. But what we need to keep in mind is that any of these divorces that are happening currently have been building for some time. It's just that being in lockdown, spending 24 hours a day together accelerates anything,
exactly
good or bad.
Exactly what I was about to say. These are couples that, especially when it comes to celebrity couples, that do not spend that much time with one another. They are off for movie shoots or TV shoots. They have to go record an album. Like, these are people who are married, but like really just have a long distance relationship to some level at almost all points of their lives. So when they are truly forced to spend time together 24/7, I totally get it. Any problem that you had in your marriage, just like all of a sudden, you know, just come like really gets highlighted, really gets a microscope on it. Like, I cannot imagine what that would be like.
I definitely think that it forces you to look at the division of labor, and a bunch of smarter, better writers than me have done a good job articulating this. And that's what's leading to a lot more fights, is like you're realizing how much work you actually do because you have nothing else to think about, nothing else to focus on at all. And I will say, you know, even though I've known my husband for 13 years now and we've been living together for 7 years, this is probably the longest, and we're not obviously celebrities or rich at all, but this is the longest amount of time that we've ever spent one-on-one every single fucking day. It's like we have to plan a week or 2 weeks of vacation where we just hang out together. Otherwise, it just wouldn't really happen. And it's not like we're always jet setting around, but we have very opposite schedules. We do different things. And definitely we trade off travel. I mean, like a dog is not the same as a kid, but like we try to like cut down and leaving the dog alone. So we do like take separate trips at different times. And so, you know, all told during the year, I think we maybe spend like 3 consecutive weeks together. I can't even imagine with celebrities who have a lot more pressure on them, especially if they have children,
yes,
to be making content. And like, I think it really forces you to reexamine like who's doing what. And then, and to that end, also what you perceive them to be doing with their time.
So
you know, like,
I remember,
do you think their job as an influencer is a waste of time? You're about to get a fucking front row seat to what they do every day.
Oh, yes, every day. And so one of the interesting things, I'm glad you brought that up, division of labor. So I remember reading an article like 2 years ago, and there was all these studies done on the men who were children of working mothers. And the studies showed that they, in their relationships, in their partnerships, especially in like heterosexual partnerships, they were the closest to getting to that 50-50 division of labor. So household chores, if there are pets or children to take care of, all of that, that they were, it was never quite 50-50, but it was probably the closest in comparison to men who had grown up with women, with mothers who had stayed at home. And it was really interesting to me. So they obviously, the study also showed that like women who had mothers who worked were more likely to have higher positions, more likely to get promoted, all these kinds of things. And it was very interesting. And it was a little no duh to me, especially on the guy front, but definitely interesting to see from a data standpoint.
I think to that end too, it's women do a lot more emotional labor than men. So it'll never quite be a 50-50 split like that. There just are certain things that like men can't do. Sorry, you know. Not all men, I guess, maybe hashtag, but there's always, it's never going to be quite a 50-50 split, but you'll get close. And, you know, if you don't get close, I feel like, I don't even know. I think my friend Marlene puts it best. She's like, if you can't be a hands-on partner, then neither can I.
So, yeah. I mean, that's really,
I think
it.
That's
I feel
best.
Like,
I and think that's a great segue.
Yes.
Best segue into some couples where maybe they weren't as hands-on, or once they tried to be hands-on, it just did not work. I don't know. What order do you want to go in?
I mean, all of these, honestly, I'm not surprised with any of these. So there's no one that's like shocking to me. I don't know. Do we want to go with like,
I don't know.
Julie?
Okay. Oh, I was going to say, I was actually a little bit surprised by Mary-Kate and Sarkozy.
Okay. Yeah. I would say that too. MK, and let's go with them first.
Maybe it's because we never really knew anything about their marriage. And also their
Correct.
Marriage was a surprise, at least to
yeah.
me. And, you know, never forget, I forget which write-up described their wedding where they had glass votives full of cigarettes.
Cigarettes.
And Mary-Kate marrying a French guy, to me, makes, and I'm sure to you too, makes all of the fucking sense in the
Perfect.
World.
Like,
but,
really
so
not
when
surprised.
They, so even their surprise divorce was kind of surprising, not to say surprising 18 times in a row, but because she filed like an emergency court order because he was trying to kick her out of their home
and bring
which,
in
their
his
apartment
ex.
That they shared. Well, so it sounds like it's 2 different locations from what I read. So it
oh,
sounds
right,
like
right,
they
right.
were
yes.
all
yes.
they were all cooped up in some, you know, Hudson Valley manse somewhere. And Sarkozy, like a fucking French guy that he is, invites every woman he's ever known because he A, can't be alone, and B, needs his fucking mommies all of the time. So he invites his ex-wife, his 2 kids, which that makes sense.
Makes sense.
And the ex-wife even that too, but then he invites like his mom as well. And so I would also stand to reason that Mary-Kate and Sarkozy have not spent a ton of FaceTime together.
No.
I mean, other than those awkward pictures of them at like a Knicks game, like I don't think I've seen them in public all of that much. And
not
that's
that
totally
much,
fine.
Especially
that's
since right. getting married. Especially since getting
but
married.
I believe the emergency divorce court order was their apartment in New York. She had a bunch of invaluable items that if he decided to let the lease lapse and the super or whomever of whoever's in charge of their building that they live in could go in there and seize a bunch of property. And what I actually think is the funniest, because someone on Who Weekly, they were talking about how, you know, we don't know what these like invaluable things are, like they could be props or whatever. They had a call because every Friday they have a call-in show where they play a bunch of listener calls where they either have like stories or questions. Anyway, some chick who was a vet tech who took in Ashley Olsen and Justin Bartha's French bulldog to like get him spayed, Ashley Olsen asked for the dog testicles back and, like, I don't know, made a shrine of them, whatever. Yeah. And so this caller called in and essentially speculated, like, it's probably something like dog testicles. It's not that, because that's Ashley, but, like, it's probably something that fucking weird
Very
that she
weird.
Might not want to get out
so
to the public.
Just no one should know. No one, I mean, like, look, if the favor, I mean, it is very on brand for MK and a French guy to have had bowls of cigarettes. But if that was, like, a fucking, like, weird, different thing that no one had expected to have at their wedding, like, I can't imagine what kind of, like, invaluable things, quote unquote, invaluable things that MK has in her home. I would not be shocked.
I feel like if
any of them came out.
I also feel like Ashley asking for those back just fully confirms everyone's suspicions that they're, like, actually tiny little witches or something. Like, you're casting a spell. Like, what do you need those for?
Some sort of a charm, for sure. For sure. It's something. I had a really interesting conversation with my friend Katie about this the other day. She's one of the people that I FaceTime with the most right now. And we were talking about, you know, they're one of the couples whose age difference was really talked about initially when they got together, even though,
difference is much more interesting.
Yeah, honestly, that's what I was going to bring up. It's like, they are both Olsen twins, are tiny women. Like, they're just both 5'1", barely 100 pounds, if that. They are they're small framed women. And of course, like, Sarkozy, you know, the age difference also didn't look great for his age because, like, newsflash, if you smoke a lot, it doesn't age well. And
but also, Emily, how French culture is it, though, to date and marry a significantly younger woman? I mean, come on.
Where I don't have as much, I never had in hindsight, I don't think I had as much of an issue with their age difference as I do with, like, we've talked about Zach Braff and Florence Pugh or Sophia Richie and what's his face?
Scott Disick. Plus they broke
Scott
up. They broke up.
And they just broke up too. But for me, those were much weirder to me because I always felt like even though there was a weird age difference with MK and Sarkozy, ultimately she was already in her mid-20s when they got together. She always had way more money than he did. So there was never this weird power dynamic that I think would have existed, say, in, like, the Disick-Ritchie relationship or even in, like, the Pugh-Braff relationship. So for me, the age difference always weirded me out. But yeah, as you said, very French second marriage. And also, she was always of an age and of means that, like, it never felt like a power dynamic weird thing to me.
I would agree with you there. I think the problem with the Scott Disick, Sophia Richie relationship is that he'd known her since she was a child.
Yes.
So that's why that irks me. That's why
so much.
Even though I don't care for Kylie Jenner, that's why her relationship with Tyga always fucking grossed me out. Like, I don't like dudes who stick around until you're 18 and then, but anyway, Mary
Kate, Ryan Austin
she's
Green
always,
and Megan Fox.
Yeah, we'll get to that. But I think with Mary Kate, like you said, it's because she's always had money and was independent. And to be completely honest, her marrying someone who's older and has a lot of clout and power in a field completely separate to her totally makes sense. Like I said, it's their height difference, not their age difference. I think that's what people react to. They're like, oh, look, this. I mean, it's one thing to be older, but, like, you're towering over this poor woman. Like, it just is, like, a little creepy.
Who's always looked young for her age. Like, yeah.
But so a little update on, and just to wrap up, Mary-Kate and Sarkozy. So the emergency divorce was not granted to her, and her time is almost up because I believe she had till May 31st, and we are recording on May 30th. So I wonder what's going to happen. She is obviously notoriously private, and the fact that this is even seeped into the press, I'm sure, is very irritating for her and the Olsen brand. So the situation is currently unfolding. And so if we do, like, an emergency episode follow-up to this, do not be surprised.
Yeah, no, we probably will. I think both of us have been incredibly invested in this divorce and reading the legal documentation to better understand what's going on, all the details, just because she and her sister are notoriously private people. So this is, like, the first glimpse we've had into their private life. And I would say way before they got together, even. I feel like the last time MK had really been in the press was, like, you know, 10, 15 years ago at this point. So it's been a while. So this is the first, you know, little glimpse we've had.
When she dated Katzenberg's son.
Yep.
I feel like that was her last huge relationship or big, like, press relationship.
I agree. I would, yeah, because that was probably like they got together, what, 15 years ago? They were together for a little bit, right? And then after,
yeah, it has to be 15 years ago because she was like in rehab and that was my junior year of high school and she's a year older than I am. So,
yeah,
it must have been at least 15, 16 years ago.
Yeah.
But,
yeah. But speaking of age differences, I think this kind of segues into Brian Austin Green and Megan Fox, who, when I did a little Wikipedia, you know, look back on their relationship, I always knew they had a bit of an age difference. And I knew they got married when she was in her early 20s, but I had forgotten that they had met when she was like barely 18 years old on a TV show. That for me, like, so it was on the set of Hope and Faith, is where they met. What? And she was 18 and he was 30.
Ew.
Yeah. And so according to an interview with her, he was hesitant. He was the one who was hesitant to enter the relationship because of the age difference, and that she, quote, had to do the convincing that she was slightly more responsible and well-spoken and had other things to bring to the table besides being 18, which just feels weird. Like you have to prove yourself to be mature 18.
That is motherfucking gross. Gross.
Right? I was just not expecting that. I'll put it that way. Because I, you know, honestly, their age difference at first had always kind of weirded me out. But I always thought like, oh, they got together though when she was in her early 20s. Not great, but like it's certainly better than some of the other age differences in Hollywood. But like knowing that that was when they got together was not really great to read about. this is one though. I mean, like, so they'd separated in the past. They broke up initially before they ever got married, like 10 years ago. Then they got married.
Yeah, that was when she had that affair with – or affair, please. That's like her and Shia LaBeouf had their
– Shia LaBeouf and Transformers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. They had their on-set romance. But I always find it to be slightly sus when a couple breaks up, then gets back together and immediately gets married. I just always feel like, well, you just slow down. Just like calm down. Whether it is Megan Fox and Brian Austin Green or it's Jax and Brittany from Vanderpump Rules. Either way, I'm going to be telling you, just take a breath before you just
think
that that's going to solve all your problems. So I actually find, well, so I think the funniest part of this whole thing is that we found out that they were splitting up thanks to Brian Austin Green's fucking podcast. I can't believe another white guy actor from the 90s has a pointless fucking podcast. It's trash. But yes, he confirmed all of the news that they split again. I mean, they have 3 kids, so not for nothing. But he had posted something also before he confirmed on his podcast. He posted something on Instagram of like a butterfly on Instagram and like how even like butterflies that land on the most beautiful flowers get bored and then they fly away. And then, you know, how Megan Fox like has that.
That's literally an Elton John song quote. Like butterflies are free to fly away.
I don't think he was even that elegant with it, Emily. And I don't even think he was thinking about that, but I connected it to, and I think a lot of other people connected it to, Megan Fox has that quote from, I think it's Macbeth, or it's like it's not the right quote, but people think it is from Macbeth about like laughing at gilded butterflies or whatever. And so everybody was like leaving comments on that Instagram post like, who's the butterfly, you or Megan, what's happening? I don't mean to say this every podcast, but if I was a rich celebrity, you would never catch me making any sort of any comment on any social media platform. Like, just be too busy not doing anything to be bothered.
No, I mean, at this point, like, go the classic route, get your publicist to release a statement, don't take to Instagram, don't vague book or vague gram, whatever you want to call it. Like, go the classic route. Like, it's easy. You get to say it the right way. It's not open to interpretation. You're not trying to use an animal to kind of symbolize where your relationship status is. Just go for a publicist. You already pay them enough anyway. Let them do their work.
Yeah, I really can't encourage people enough not to write their own statements about their breakups. Please utilize your PR person who has written these, who will make it unfuck-upable. Like you said, you don't need to analogize your future spouse to a fucking animal or to a weird poem or whatever. Just like let a professional do it.
Let a professional do it. You pay them. That person paid a lot of money for that comms degree. They are probably in mountains of student debt. Let them use it.
Well, I think it was the other funny part of this is that he was obligated to even make a statement because Megan Fox was spotted driving around with machine gun Kelly, which is like, bleh.
Oh my.
Who, by the way, the last time, the first and last time I've heard about Machine Gun Kelly during just this period of time, so I've heard more about him in the last 3 months than I have in the last three fucking years.
So many blind items.
He got into a feud with Jeff Lewis from Flipping Out because they're neighbors. And I guess Machine Gun Kelly's been having parties and Jeff Lewis is an asshole who loves to call people out. So he like made fun of him on his, get this, Sirius XM radio show, which is like, who the fuck listens to that? And how the fuck did Machine Gun Kelly even hear it? And so Machine Gun Kelly decided to troll him by being like extra nice. So he like recorded something on Instagram about how he was like, so sorry, Jeff Lewis. And he sent him over a couple bottles of Dom. And I was just like, what? What? Like, what is happening right now? Why is this news? Why is this news? But then cut to like a week or two later after that whole bullshit saga subsided. It's him and Megan Fox driving around. Then I find out that, oh, God, this is actually where it gets even funnier because all of this ties back into a Bravo universe. Anyway. So then they're spotted driving out and people are like, what are they doing? Like, you know, are her and Brian Austin Green like broken up, yada, yada. And I've come to find out that they are just friends, quote unquote, like make of it whatever you want to. But per their people, they're just friends, but they met on the set of a movie. I forget what it's called, like something about Splendor Grass, but it's directed by Randall Emmett, who is Lala from Vanderpump Rules' fiance. And so he just recently was like on the entire season of Vanderpump and everyone's like, oh, Randall's so nice. Except I actually think that Randall's probably kind of a shitty dirtbag because he decided to quote unquote prank somebody by fake calling cops on them. And obviously, luckily they're white. And so it wasn't a problem, but yeah, fuck that fucking guy. I mean, he likes Jax because he's also 40. But the fact that he's like directing this movie, and I hope it's the same movie where Lala stars in it and she's dressed like an old lady lawyer from the 20s in it for like no real discernible reason. I can't wait. Also, Randall is a producer on the film Gotti. Gotti also shares the Hall of Fame with the movie that I worked on with Nick Swartz in called Bucky Larson. It holds a 0% on Rotten Tomatoes. So, you know, not everyone can fail that fucking hard. But
that is true.
You know, when Nick is Swartz and Randall.
In the Crafts. When is the Splendor in the Crafts movie coming out?
Is it going to come out? Like, these are all questions that we have.
That is true.
Even under the best of circumstances, Emily, I'm pretty sure it's going to be like some straight to VOD type shit.
Probably. You know what that movie, though, makes me think of? There are movies out there that I have seen strictly, not because I had any investment in the movie, but because of everything that happened behind the scenes. I saw the Terminator movie with Christian Bale, not because I gave a shit about Terminator, sorry, but it was because I had, of course, heard Christian Bale go off on set and then the Bailout remix, which my friend Jordan put on a mixtape for me in college. That is the only reason that we went and saw that Terminator movie was just because of that drama. I have a feeling that this movie will only be available for streaming, if that. And that is the only reason people are going to stream it, is because everyone will know it as that movie.
It's called Midnight in the Switchgrass, and it also stars, wait for this fucking lineup, Bruce Willis, Lucas Haas, and Emile Hirsch. Woman beater Emile Hirsch. So that's cool. That's not even alleged, y'all. That happened in court.
That actually
don't
happened.
Upset him at a Sundance party. So yeah, seriously. It's just sort of what a weird way to drum up press. But then it also came to light that she starred in his latest music video, which I refused to watch or even listen to the song. No. So just know that happened. Where should we go to next? I guess there are only – oh, well, we have late-breaking news. Do you want to go to the late-breaking quart of ours?
Off the presses, Julianne Hough and Brooks Like. Honestly, as one comment on the Who Weekly Facebook group best puts it, the time we've all speculated that they've been separated was actually longer than the actual marriage. So this is no surprise. They have not quarantined one time together. To be honest – my friend Sarah and I have talked about this quite a bit because we are both Washington Capitals fans and Brooks Lake was a member of the team, played on the team for years. This was probably a marriage where the two parties were better off doing long distance with Brooks in DC and Julianne in LA or Idaho or wherever she chooses to live, maybe Utah. But when he was released from the Caps and eventually retired from the NHL, like it was game over. I mean, they had to already spend more time together than they did before COVID. And I bet you they separated a long time ago at this point because they have not quarantined once together during this time. They have strictly been he in Idaho with his podcast with Gavin DeGraw, and then she in LA, I assume, making the announcement, which for I'm all about people living their truth. If she is not straight, I'm glad that she has found peace. But for her to come out with these statements and then all of a sudden COVID happens and they're living apart and it's just like, all right, announce it. Just let us know. Get it out there. Put it out there. Let us know that you guys are no longer together. And now my favorite are the thirst traps that he's posting on his Instagram where she's kind of like negging him a little with the compliments like, oh, haha, I didn't know you knew what that meant. So I can't, okay. That's what I have to say about that relationship and subsequent divorce.
Yeah, she lost me when she started to do some kind of – she started to go the Goop route where she – did you watch that video of her getting, like, exercised or whatever? I couldn't. I was like, yeah, you are a lot.
And she was touring at one point. So Oprah did a tour, like a speaking tour. And I believe Julianne Hough was a part of it. So that's –
was part of it.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. Well – we'll just quickly touch on this because it's a big old bag of yipes, this breakup. But Jamie King, who we talked about on our It Girls episode, her and her husband, Kyle Newman, also announced that they are splitting. If you want to read the kind of semi-bummery details, you know, just type her name into Oh No They Didn't. You'll find it. But I think what we really want to talk about is the crown jewel of breakups, the one that kicked off all of these choir divorces. Kristen Cavallari and Jay Cutler. Before they even got divorced, though, they were giving me everything that I fucking needed in my sad one-room life. Which was when they got stranded in the Bahamas with her fucking hairdresser's husband, who's a non-entity, her husband who fucking hates everything and everyone, and her three kids. Against all reason, they flew to the Bahamas like right before shelter in place was announced, probably for their stay and even just sort of like when people started taking it more seriously. But they left probably around the time that at least California was getting sheltered in place. But by the time they got to the Bahamas, they couldn't leave. And so they decided to try and make the quote unquote most of it, which completely backfired. Oh, my God. I will find it and send you the link, Emily. But I'm going to give you – you guys need to read. This woman did the most incredible thread of – she just went through all the Instagram posts and like was just trying to figure out where they were in the Bahamas, how long they had been there, when they were going to be leaving. God. And if you'd ever watched Very Cavallari – I don't know about you, but after the first season, like, I just kept watching because of Jay. But you could tell, like, I'm not surprised that they're getting divorced by any stretch of the imagination. But no, do I think that her friend Kelly is the reason? Absolutely not. Kelly is even more annoying than Kristen. So why would he do that to himself? They straight up don't have anything in common anymore. And then you spend all of this time together, you really start to find that out. And what I love the most about this divorce stuff is that she basically called him lazy, and that's why she wanted a divorce, because he's not as motivated as she is, which is insane because he's a retired NFL player. So for the last 10
years, he has been concussed. How many times?
Well, Emily, he's only been taken out 3 times for concussions, but I mean, he's been playing football probably since
he was a kid. Officially, we know of 3 concussions. God knows how many actually happened.
So if this man wants to sit at home, drop off his kids at school, and then just watch a deer cam in the middle of North Carolina or whatever it is that he's doing, I say, let him. I don't know why it bothers her so much. I would be stoked if someone just wanted to like hang out at home and just handle home shit and I could just go do work stuff and not be really worried about what's happening at home.
He just wanted to be a fucking stay-at-home dad. That's it. Stay-at-home dad. You know, he's retired. He just wants to be, which is great. I think it's wonderful.
But he's just doing... he's doing what a retired person is doing, which is nothing. And he's content. So if he's fine with it, why do you have a problem with it? But anyway, if you ever watched, I think it was season 2, there was like a dinner party episode where he got drunk and they got into this very awkward fight where he's just like, I don't even remember what was said, but you could just tell that there was like another level of like hurt and pain underneath all of that. Cause he's like, Kristen, you like don't even like me. It was just like, it was just so sad. And like,
it's probably true.
And they were just, they were in it for the kids, which is nice, but you know, that only lasts for so long. So their divorce has been very interesting.
But you know what you bring up is a nice thing is that if it really was just for the kids, it's better to have that end now than it is to, you know, 18 years later, the kids go to college and like that's when it ends. For them, it means that hopefully for Jay Cutler, he can find happiness and find a nice lady who is content with him just watching his fucking deer cam all day. Honestly, as I've told you many times before, my theory about this divorce is that the straw that broke the camel's back, in addition to spending more time together, was that she found out probably that he vaccinated the kids because he doesn't look like a nut job. I'm convinced.
Well, I would go back the other way. Well, first of all, I don't think either of them, because they're both hot and rich, will ever have a problem finding another person to be in a relationship with. And that's not what I'm worried about. They do have three kids that spell their name in a fucking stupid way that only white people who don't vaccinate their kids can do it. But I think
too many whys. Because of this,
So many like vowels where they don't fucking belong. Like get that goddamn E out of here. What are we doing?
Yeah, no need.
But what I think, Emily, is that with this pandemic going on, Jay was probably like, all right, you don't want to vaccinate the kids all the time. That's fine. He's like, but they're getting a COVID vaccine. And she probably went, no, because that doesn't fuck with my brand or whatever. And maybe that's a contributing like factor. I genuinely feel like it's a confluence of things because he really did have a problem with her working all the time. He wanted to spend more time with her and she seemed genuinely uninterested and wanted to grow her business, which is also valid. You know,
totally valid, don't marry someone that you don't want to spend time with.
I think that he was busy doing football shit for so fucking long. They grew apart in that time where they were busy on working on their own careers. I think that it's nice in theory to have this idea of like, fine, we want to start a family, but your career is taking precedence. We're just going to follow your lead until you're done. And then I'm going to tap out and you take care of the kids. But I think in that sense, that's where you like miss keeping like a connection and growing together because you're both on these like separate tracks trying to maintain for so long that at a certain point, the wheels are going to fall off. And so it's sad, but also it's extremely entertaining. So I would like to thank them. But what actually really sucks for me is like, I fell off of the most recent season of Very Cavalier. It was so boring. Like
so boring.
This new hairdresser best friend.
Season two
was okay at times, but the problem is that she brought in this hairdresser best friend who is so thirsty to be on TV that it's exhausting. And he's just her yes man, which is not that interesting. But he's more entertaining than Kelly, who's just like, oh, I'm single. I'm like, oh, my God. I don't care about women who are single in 40. Like, that's what we have Sex and the City for. Like, you want to be single? That's totally fine. Like, but I don't really give a shit about your single life. You don't work at this store and you're not causing drama. And I don't really want to see your sad dates. So the third season really kind of fell off for me, but once I saw that they were getting divorced, I was like, oh shit, next season's going to actually be good because we're going to be watching her like reclaim her independence and like doing all this store stuff, but she canceled the fucking show. I was like, girl, you just got a personality and you're going to cancel your show? I guess if you've ever watched Very Cavalier, you know that the real star of the show is Blooms the chicken. So I hope in the divorce that Blooms gets to go with Jay because that's what Blooms and all of America really wants.
That feels like a nice buddy cop spin-off reality show for
Blooms
me.
And
not
Jay.
Necessarily that they're not that they're cops or anything. It's more just like they go deer hunting together or whatever. And like it's just
or the they chickens just watch, and the they watch the deer cam.
Yeah.
He goes
exactly.
And like collects the eggs with all the other chickens with like Blooms is like, I don't know, telling them to like give up their eggs, kind of like a Sopranos kind of situation. You know, I see where you're going. I can see it.
That's a Tubi show or whatever that new – is it Tubi, the new thing where it's all like 10-minute
no,
shows?
No, Quibi. It's Quibi.
Oh, God. Quibi. I'm getting all our streaming networks confused. But this would be a great Quibi show. Oh, my God.
Emily, we should do a short on Quibi. Quibi fucking –
we should.
Oh, man. Quibi is a disaster. It is a delicious Schadenfreude disaster.
I cannot wait.
It tastes
cannot
so good.
Cannot wait. But that is a Quibi show if I've ever heard one.
Well, let's wrap up our course splits with a couple that defies the odds in all senses of the term. Oh, Ava Murray Martino and her fucking dirtbag husband, Kyle Martino, they divorced. So I always think that if a woman is divorcing your ass while she's pregnant, you done fucked up big.
Big time.
Know what you did, but it's not great. And if they survived him, like, didn't he bang their nanny or something? If they survived a nanny bang thing.
Yeah.
If you could get through that, I was actually generally surprised. I was like, wow, she's pregnant. He must have really either banged another nanny or something. So she's pregnant, but then pandemic hits. And so he moves back in, they have this baby, and they're still divorcing, but they're all living together currently. And her never-ending quest to make everything blog content, it's very funny.
I will preface this by saying I'm all for healthy co-parenting. I think it is fantastic.
Sure.
When people split up and they can still have a good, maintain a cordial relationship while parenting kids, pets, what have you. But that content, I mean, most of her content is already very tone deaf to begin with. And she really does kind of follow her mom's footsteps in that realm. But like,
did we establish who? Ava Amori Martino is Susan Sarandon's
daughter.
I feel like that should paint a very clear picture. But the thing with these like lifestyle mommy bloggers is that they overshare, and then when there's backlash, they're like, I thought this was what you wanted. It's like, oh my God.
Prime example, the rehoming of this. I don't know who the blogger or the Instagram influencer's name is.
I don't want to talk about it. It's too sad.
First of all, you don't
rehome children. You rehome pets. If you adopt a kid, that's it. You adopted a kid.
Right. So I'm not going to go into much more detail. I don't want to read into it too much. I just want to say, but like for me, that's it. That is a prime example of why publishing your whole life as a parent and all this stuff and commodifying it will end up biting you in the ass at one point or another, because you're going to fuck up. To the degree, I don't know. Some people it's minor, some people it's huge. But I feel like, if you do commodify that whole aspect of your life, you're bound to fuck up at one point. And not necessary.
It also brings up the interesting question that I've seen a lot of parents debate online, which is how much of your children who aren't old enough to consent to anything, how much of their privacy are you willing to give up in your search for monetizing some bullshit?
Right.
And I think that she falls into some of that where people are like, you're putting your kids in these positions and like putting things on them that they didn't ask for. So, but with them being co-parents, a lot of her new material is like, look how great we're doing. I was just like, all right.
Yeah.
Oh man. But
it's a little bit too much of their continuing to say, we're doing okay. And it's almost like her reassuring herself more than anything.
I don't have the Instagram post handy, but Kristen Cavallari and Jay Cutler, just to tie it all back to the reason that we even had this episode idea, but she had some sort of version of conscious uncoupling in her Instagram post that, oh boy, did I chuckle heartily. Kristen Cavallari's Instagram post said that they've come to the loving conclusion to seek a divorce, which I thought it was a very funny turn of phrase. It sounded like her version of conscious uncoupling, a loving conclusion of
loving
divorce.
Conclusion. I mean, I
know she's just trying to do the kind of goopy business as well with all this jewelry stuff. So I always find her attempts at doing stuff like this to be kind of funny.
Yes.
Kind of a mistake that she canceled her show, but I'm sure there'll be more divorces to come. So I'm sure there'll be a follow-up episode to this.
I bet
any
you
other
were.
Parting thoughts?
All I have to say is I think we're both going to log off after this, turn to Twitter, and there'll be another one. So we've already gotten out of the way that Clayton and Cassie are no longer together from The Bachelor, which, like, surprise. Colton. See, that's how unmemorable he is.
Like, who the fuck is Clayton?
I'm calling him Clayton. Jesus. That's a good question. I don't know. I mean, I think one of the young couples, maybe the Bieber Baldwin clan will split up. That could happen.
Oh no, that girl is brainwashed within an inch of her fucking life. She's not going any place. you'll have to literally pry this marriage out of her cold dead hands. I don't know who would be next. That's a good question. It's like the people that I thought would break up have already broken up. Oh, you know there's all that Amanda Palmer, Neil Gaiman shit that was happening too.
Yeah, we didn't even get into that. That's not that interesting. You know who might though? You know who might is I wonder if Ellen and Portia split after everything.
Because, well, who would blame Portia at this point?
No, absolutely not. To me, she has always seemed to be a nice person. And then, of course, we both knew because you had told me and I had read this before that Ellen is a nightmare to work with. But especially after COVID, like, has just come out with more and more of, you know, former employees spilling the tea, which I always appreciate. But that's a couple I could see splitting.
That's a good one. I'd say my most surprising coupling, though, because there were rumors about it beforehand, and then they think they're slick, but people on the internet are slicker. It's Lena Waithe and Cynthia Erivo. That was a surprise quarantine together. I was like,
Which I just want some
sleuthy internet people were like, look at that background and look at that background. It's the same background. Oh,
you know who else though is Nina Dobrev and who is she?
Oh, and Shaun
right
White.
Now?
Yeah. Shaun White. But we saw pictures of them riding bikes together. So that was less surprising.
Yeah.
I think that was the least surprise. Oh, Cara Delevingne and Ashley Benson breaking up. That was a surprise.
Oh, yeah.
After the whole
Everyone
sex
wondered
thing,
the sex,
I was like,
yeah, where did the sex swing go? Who ended up getting the sex swing?
I thought the sex bench meant that they were getting serious, but I guess I was wrong.
Apparently. I don't know.
Anywho.
But that's who I have bets on. Probably Ellen and Portia. We'll see.
I think that's a really good guess. Tune back in for the part two when Emily's correct and I have to like give her $5 or something. Well, we have more mini episodes coming up in the near future. We also have some more blog content going up. Emily wrote a in-depth investigative piece about Limp Bizkit. We have some soundtrack appreciation posts coming. And if you want to keep up with whatever we're doing, you can follow us on Instagram at The Old Millennials Pod. And you can find all of our blog content at Old Millennials Pod on Medium. And you can find us individually on Twitter. I'm at Marg, she wrote.
And I'm at Emily A. Bijan.
And until next
time,
mini episode.
Bye.
Bye.